Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
And what's up, everybody? Another night here at the round table. It's your boy Manuel, and we got Angela Johnson to the left, aka my queen, Elise Murphy, aka Bobby.
We're wearing the same lipstick today. Just
We got B Real Brandon Smith to the right of us. Hey, how are you guys? Hopefully you're hearing this and you're in a good mood, expectant, excited. Mm-hmm. We hope that you're excited to hear this next podcast. We're excited to do it. I'm gonna throw it over to be so that he can introduce what this topic is going to be about tonight.
Well, are we going to introduce what we're drinking
tonight?
Yeah,
do it out.
You know what? I forgot about the vino.
You did a little bit, and it's your favorite one.
But this is your stuff, so you got to intro this.
This is your zone. Hey, everybody that's listening right now. Manuel Reyes on the 1 and 2s. I'm going to tell you about this Moscato.
You can't do a deep voice when you're talking about Moscato.
That's what I was saying.
Whatever. Hey. This is sexy. I'm about to tell y'all about Moscato from Provincia de Pavia, Castello de Poggio, Asti, Italy. This one is from Italy, from a vineyard over there. It's a sweet white wine. Stop messing up my flow.
It's not a flow.
Look, this Moscato offers an appealing freshness and a taste that reveals the varietal characteristics of this wine. Its delicate sweetness and fine aroma make it an ideal match for desserts and fruit salad. Mm. You know why we're using this one? Because we're about to cook up some dessert. It's about to be sweet. A sweet smell of release.
Oh.
That's what Moscato does for me, guys.
Well, why did it make my face do this?
Yeah, like, I feel uncomfortable.
It's okay.
I need to drink wine
and
now.
You should, because a level
for those of you that don't drink wine, Moscato is like apple juice that you have to show your ID to purchase.
Yes.
Basically,
it's so good. It is so good. Finally, something that I can get down with. Anyways, on to what I was saying, Brandon. Let's talk about it. What are we getting into?
Tonight's episode is all about insecurities.
Oh,
we all have them. We all deal with them, and we're all in this journey of like discovering what's beneath those insecurities. That's one thing too. And we're gonna open up a little bit and talk about the Enneagram. Some of you guys might be familiar with it. Others, you might not. Kind of give just a brief synopsis of what the Enneagram is. It's this tool for your own spiritual journey. So what the Enneagram does, which I absolutely love and have found a lot of value in it, is that it takes qualities of modern psychology and it takes wisdom from all these ancient traditions. Everything that I've ever looked up about the Enneagram, no one really knows how long it's been around.
Yeah.
Like you'll look at some, it'll be like, it's been around for 4,000 years. Others, 2,500 years, whatever it may be. It is a thing that separates us into 9 distinct personality types. And within those personality types are specific desires and basic fears that those personality types will have. And so when I was looking at insecurities in my life, which we'll open up into it, I realized that this was linked with my actual personality type's greatest fear. Mm. But it was like a shallow-ish thing of what my actual fear was underneath the underlying fear. And so the thing about the Enneagram is I feel like it's a little bit more accurate than just kind of aligning yourself with like, I was born on this day, so I am this, you know?
For sure.
No offense if you're into the horoscope and it's like extremely accurate for you. For me, I haven't found that to be the case. Yeah. So with Enneagram, I've been on this journey. I had a friend who you guys have seen on the pod before, William Matthews. Mm-hmm. Will, he was like, hey man, I got to tell you about this. There's this workbook I've been doing. I think you could get a lot out of it. So I started it and I started going on this journey to just discover myself. And I remember this one quote in the workbook that I was reading. It says, there's no point in traveling across the world if you can't travel the great abyss within yourself.
Ooh.
That there is a space within us and it's an amazing journey that you get to discover who you are inside.
Wow. So with that said, then your discovery of yourself, what would you say is that insecurity that is reoccurring. That thing that, you know, you find yourself
that you said was linked to your
not being able to get rid of. Yeah.
Tell us your deepest fear, Brandon.
Tell us my deepest fear. I think my deepest fear is that I'm worthless. And that's pretty strong coming out the gate. But as an Enneagram 3, what happens is I place so much value in what I can achieve and the outward success that I have. All because as a kid, I don't think my parents were intentional about this, but subconsciously the message that I received from my parents was that, hey, you are lovable because of what you're achieving and what you're doing. So like growing up, like basketball, I was like a prodigy when I was a kid. Like when I was in second grade, I was playing with fifth graders. And so I'm doing all these amazing things. At the same time, my dad is speaking at these huge events. And I'm coming up at 4 years old on a microphone speaking in front of 10,000 people.
Wow.
So everyone's like, oh my goodness, this kid's amazing. You know, he's amazing at basketball. He's an amazing communicator. And so during this whole time, my subconscious is saying, oh, you're getting all this love because of what you can do. And there came a point in my life, obviously, things change. You don't have the attention as much anymore. You're not in the spotlight and you don't have the microphone. And you come to that place and you're like, oh my God, I'm nothing.
Yeah.
I'm worthless.
Yeah.
And it's crazy because I think one of my greatest fears used to be before I was introduced to the Enneagram was that my greatest fear was having wasted potential in my life. But why was I scared of having wasted potential? Jeez. It was because of the success that I was seeing on the other end of fully using my potential.
Right.
And in fully using my potential on the other side, I knew that the accolades would come. I knew that the attention would come. I knew that the praise would come. People would say, man, that guy Brandon, dude, he's amazing. Like, he's so successful at what he does.
Yeah.
And so I remember going through this phase where the Lord, he asked me, he said, Brandon, if I took all of this away, who would you be? And I just remember in that moment feeling so sad because I was like, God, I don't want to give up all this stuff because I love people telling me, Brandon, you're a great role model. You're amazing. Like, my kid looks up to you. And that feels really good, especially for my ego, which is one of the kind of things about what my personality is like. And I've really had to overcome this and do the work, like we were even talking about an episode ago, of that the temptation is for me to put more work into the image that I'm portraying for people to be accepted.
Right.
Rather than actually me putting in the work to who I am authentically.
Yeah.
My true self.
Preach.
So the war is between my ego self and my true self. And for so many years, I realized, again, I'm young, so I'm glad that I'm kind of ahead of the game a little bit in this. But I spent so many years investing in ego self. Like, I can come into a room and Elise can talk to this too. Elise can come into a room, read the room, and she can be everything that everyone wants someone to be. Like, you can morph into the situation. All of a sudden, you're the spotlight. You're the life of the party. And again, for so many years, that was me.
Yeah.
And I realized, like, at the end of the day, I wasn't being true to my true self. But why wasn't I being true to my true self? It was because deep down inside, I felt like I was worthless if I would be who I really am.
Wow.
People wouldn't say, I want to be with this guy. Oh, I want to look up to him. Oh, he inspires me. So with threes, we're so success oriented and driven and competitive. That's why you'd see like a lot of professional athletes or like.
I did not have that gene. Professional no athlete.
No athleticism.
As a three.
And,
competition streak.
Yeah. And it's so image driven. And so like sometimes our greatest weakness is our vanity.
Yeah.
It is me putting more work into my image. And that's why social media for me, I know myself. Social media can be so harmful for me because I can put all this time into this image of what I want you to think that I am.
Right.
Like, oh man, he's cool, man. He dresses so well. Oh, he's always hanging out with cool people. What does he do? I don't know. You know? And all the time behind the screen, I'm like, man, I'm terrible. Like, I don't even really like me, you know?
That's why I started doing those dance videos because I hated at some point. I was like, why am I only putting out me trying to be cool? Like, why am I only doing these pictures?
So cool.
Like, I'm so goofy and I'm not even showing it. And so I just like that. Those dance videos are like literally my revolution.
And
the
thing with the three, though, you're an eight, right? And Andrew, I think you're a nine, right?
Where's the book?
I brought this
B's
book.
B's got it. But the amount that you thought about how like I need to just do some dance videos, which if you haven't seen them, they're hilarious.
Yeah,
Manny just dancing around with like little to no clothes on sometimes, just like to random songs in his house, when clearly Angela is traveling and
it's always when she's
gone. Hey babe, don't do that. But if you think about how much you felt like you needed to do that because you were like, I don't want to present this image, times that by 1 million, and you start to touch on how a 3 would feel about authenticity and about even bringing up this whole topic of insecurities and fears. For a 3, it immediately brings up, okay, how can I put my fear or my insecurity into a way that I can still make it a win?
Right.
Still be like, you know what? Sometimes I'm like just too great. You know what I mean? Like I just, I win too much.
The interview trick.
I win too much.
What? Tell me what one of your weaknesses is.
Sometimes I work too hard. I work too hard.
I'm too responsible.
I'm too strong.
Yeah.
I'm too amazing sometimes.
It's from the Enneagram. The first time I heard of the Enneagram, we've talked about my divorce, I think, in maybe every episode because it's my biggest example lately. But really, I was in the middle of a 2-day TV shoot thing for this company, Lightworkers, and we were doing this like online book club thing. And I hadn't filed yet. He had left in the very middle of it. And I had to read these 6 or 7 books during the time. All of the books naturally were about transitions and breakups and all this stuff. And one of the books was a Richard Rohr book, who our friend William like loves.
Richard Rohr, he's amazing. If you haven't heard of him, go buy every single book he's ever written and it'll change your life.
Yes. And just like sleep on them. So they'll go into your brain by osmosis.
We'll put a link. We'll put a link at the bottom.
Yeah. So he wrote a book called the Enneagram, the Christian Perspective. So that was one I had to read. And honestly, dude, it was like a textbook thick that I was like, I don't want to. I heard it was by Christian monks. Like I'm good. Like give me the headlines. I promise. As soon as I started reading about the Enneagram, first of all, you'll go to your number, which, by the way, you'll know you're a 3. I don't know if this happened to you, Brandon, but I took the test and I took it 3 different times because I got 3 different numbers and I was so frustrated. I obviously wrote to them and I was like, you guys are wrong because this is messed up. I got wrong numbers. And she was like, read the book. It's all about self-awareness. And then I talked to William and he's like, I know what number you are, but I'm not going to tell you. You need to read the book and it's about self-awareness. Mm-hmm. And they say the chapter you read or the number you read and you feel completely exposed, like you want to shut the book and throw it across the room, that's usually the number you are. And sure enough, I started reading about the number 3 and they said this is a chameleon-like number and you may even have had a different number every single time you took the quiz because you're just trying to figure out which one you need to be. And I was like, ah, damn it. Like that was me.
Yes.
And so we did this this book club thing that I was doing. I get divorced. We file, go back to Australia. And that I've talked about it a few times, a lot of those moments in that trip. But really, that's my biggest life moment where I couldn't put a spin on it. I could no longer filter a divorce in the early days. And even like you get now, you get a few years down the road, I can spin it when I want to. You probably heard me do it. But when you're in a couple of days in, you can't really spin that stuff. And the beautiful thing, my dad says, the best gift this divorce gave me was my wholeness back.
Yeah.
Or maybe for the first time. Because as a 3, it forced me to have to take a long, hard look at myself in an honest way and not hide behind achievements, to actually feel for a moment failure and the sting of it and really get down to the bottom and be like, I feel worthless because everything around me has crumbled and failed. So God, who am I really? And I think until you get to that moment, for a 3 especially.
So do you feel that your insecurity is that? Like, is it akin to what Brandon said? Is that the biggest insecurity?
I think for me, it maybe is a different slant on it. That's probably the generic version for me, but it would probably be either being too much or not enough.
Yeah.
So in some environments, a lot of people in my life have said like, oh, you're too much as a child. You just need to calm down. Like, calm down a lot is what I heard. And I was just being me and it was a lot and high and screechy and like lots of high pitches happening in my early days. But it was a lot, I'm very full of energy. And if you've met me, I still am a version of that. Or sometimes I wasn't enough. So the achievements weren't enough or I wasn't getting the accolades that I expected. I was literally, it's hilarious because now we talk about it out in the open, which is even huge for a 3. But I was, before we were filming this, I was telling Angela, I was like, I just was really tired today. And I was on my way here and I was like, oh, Elise, why are you so tired? Like, come on. And I said, Ange, then I started laughing because I realized, wait a second, I have a full-time job with a fair bit of responsibility. I am training to be a yoga teacher. I'm writing a second book. And I'm filming a new podcast. And I was like, oh, okay. And it was a three thing that happened again. Like, Elise, come on, get your energy up. What's wrong with you? I'm doing a lot of things and tiredness is normal. But for threes, it's not enough. Yeah. It's never enough.
It's easy to become a workaholic.
Very easy.
And that's one of those ways too, that even in the relationship, sometimes that threes avoid intimacy by working more. So they so immerse themselves in this work. And again, a sidebar too, if you're ever interested in taking a test, there's a ton online. Like there's short ones.
We'll put a link
online.
Yeah,
there's long ones that you can pay for or whatever. But
with those tests as well, I think it's important to know, like, if you can read the book, I think with taking the tests online, sometimes if you have time to read the book first, do that. But if you're just going to take a test, when you do it, you don't answer the question of who you wish you were.
Totally. Yes.
Or who you think,
which is so tough,
you might be. Like when it asks you, are you a generous person? Everyone sure likes to think they're
a generous person. Yes.
Like, yeah, I totally shared my lunch with my friend. Pause for a second. Look at your life. Mm-hmm. The history of who you are. Yeah. Are you a generous person?
Yes.
Be real with yourself, because this is for
only
you.
Works. It only
it's
works.
Self-awareness. So it's not who you wish or you aspire to be, but right now.
That's great.
Who are you? Be real with yourself.
Yeah.
And babe, what were you? A nine, right?
I'm a nine, but listen, I may have to take the test over again too, because hearing what you were saying, like whatever chapter or number makes you be like, no, it's exposing. That's probably who you are. I don't feel that way about being a nine. I feel like, yeah, that's pretty right on.
Well, I wish I was a nine. The nine is they call it the darling of the Enneagram.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah, when I told Josh you were nine, he was like, I don't think she's a nine.
Josh?
I'll talk.
Oh, why?
Because he was like, I don't think she's a nine. Because a nine is a peacekeeper and all these things. And I'm like, well, she kind of peacekeeps.
Yeah, I think that you do. Okay, listen. I have a little bit of a tude, guys. I have a little bit of a tude.
Also true.
However, when it's like real talk, I don't like confrontation. Mm-hmm. I will pass that on to someone else. Can you make that phone call for me? Whatever. You know what I mean? I don't like confrontation. If Manny and I are in an argument, I want it to be done immediately.
That's also because Manny's an eight and will continue to argue. Would I be correct in saying that, Manny?
The
until
challenger.
You fall asleep.
Yeah, I'm an eight.
So Manny is a challenger, a debater, a black and white person.
Yeah, I think they would have seen that in the podcast so far,
and
though.
So I shut down as a nine when I'm confronted with eight personality. Mm-hmm. So I tend to shut down every time Manny and
but
I.
That's also a nine thing as well with the conflict stuff. Like a nine will shut down. Now, if you're in a safe environment, and one of the healthiest things a nine can do is healthy conflict, because they don't want, like, there is no part of them that wants to. As a three, I don't want conflict if I think I'm going to look bad, and don't try and confront me in front of a crowd. Do not embarrass me. Do not embarrass Brandon. When we confront, and we have done this, we've had very confrontational conversations in our friendship. They've always been between us two.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you want to get the best out of a three, and I can only speak, I guess, as a three, just do it in private. Let's not bring this on the stage right now.
And let's not bring this on Instagram.
Yeah, not on Instagram.
Because you guys know a little bit more about the other numbers.
Yes.
Do you think I'm an accurate nine? Because he was saying his friend thinks she's not a nine.
The thing about numbers is that Brandon gave a fantastic overview of the Enneagram. It's so in depth and there's so many layers, and every number has a wing. So if I'm a three, I'm either a three wing two or a three wing four. The numbers, and if you look at the actual diagram of the Enneagram, triad and diamond and whatever the shape of it is, it has the numbers next to it and across from it.
Yeah.
So you have a wing that is next to you. So you can't be like a three wing six.
Oh, really?
You're a three wing, whatever number is next to you. Mm. So I'm a three, probably wing two, that's trying to convince the world that I'm a three wing four, because Oprah is. And so.
Well, here's what it says about a nine, babe.
Okay.
The healer, the optimist, the reconciler, the comforter, the utopian. Nobody special. Your basic fear is of loss and separation, of annihilation. Your basic desire, to maintain their inner ability and peace of mind. Super ego message. You are good or okay as long as those around you are good or okay.
I think that you read too fast, the fear part, but...
The fear of loss and separation, of annihilation.
What does that mean?
Annihilation?
The fear of loss...
And separation.
And separation. Like the separate point, annihilation?
Yep.
Okay.
Of annihilation. Semicolon of annihilation.
Yep. Okay, so I don't understand what that means.
Yeah, neither. Real quick. Like death?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's interesting too because I'm a three wing too.
Yeah.
And Maddie moment.
Maddie's a
two.
Every time.
So she's a two. Like a spiritual jumpstart for a type nine would be this, is resisting being affected by your experiences.
Resisting being affected. Yeah, I guess so, because I would take that as like I experience something bad and I want it to be away immediately. Like I want it to be done. Yeah. And not,
or a seven,
bring it back up.
So sevens want to avoid pain. So maybe my dad's maybe seven. That's my interestingly wing. Enough, my ex is a seven and my dad's a seven. The beautiful thing about the Enneagram is it shows the most unhealthy version of you and the most what they would call resourceful version of you. So as a three, like when you read the unhealthy version of a three, it's rough.
It's abusive.
Yes. All of our abusive. Going back to the abusive podcast, we're all abusive in our unhealthy versions. Yeah. But it shows you as you grow and you get healthy and you deal with conflict and you go into yourself and the self-awareness and working yourself, not blaming other things or other people. But so the two different people, that's two very different people, but they still have the same groundings. So a seven wants to avoid pain. They want to usually numb it. They're like the life of the party. They... are very like just like joy filled in the party environment, right? Yeah. Like they're just like
another thing too, like
comedians, like maybe I don't know.
The type nine, their basic desire is to be at peace. And sometimes in the childhood, the message that's lost is your presence matters. So you can feel often like overlooked, overshadowed, and you kind of feel like your presence doesn't matter. For the seven, it's the fear of being deprived or trapped in pain. What Elise was saying. And then the basic desire is the desire to be happy.
I must be that's a wing seven then.
Well, but you can't be a nine wing seven, right?
But well, I resonate with both of those.
But Angela, I am a three. I know I'm a three. Everyone says I'm the pinup girl for a three. But when I read seven, girl, I'm like, oh, there's so much in me. Now my dad's a seven. So some of that I feel like is from nurture, the way I grew up. So it's so deep and there's so much. But there's also... even a layer deeper, that take it if it resonates with you. If not, just leave it. That's what we say in yoga. But there's also, so a three has a line to another number. I'm forgetting which one it is. But when you're healthy, you act more like it might be a six.
It is a six.
And when you're unhealthy, you act like a nine.
Like a nine, correct.
Yeah, like a nine and an unhealthy
oh,
nine.
Oh, sorry, everyone. No. Sorry.
Yeah, because the thing about it is it's like, it's so interesting because, I mean, first off, you just have to be honest. And I think Angie hit it right on the nail when you're talking about when you take this test, like it's not who you want to be. It's just being honest about where you are.
Yeah, that was the biggest thing for sure.
And to me, this is just kind of a roadmap. Like to get the map, you have to be honest and you have to be somewhat self-aware.
Yeah.
And then once you get the map, you just have to like just go on this process with you and questioning and the spirit and all that. And then the other thing too, that it talks about, because all the numbers are connected, like we're all connected. And in that connection, based off kind of the things that are going on in your life. So at stress, I turn into a six, right? At my best, it kind of looks a little bit like a nine.
Oh, sorry. I got them mixed
so
up.
So it's interesting how that connectivity, like really like. It's just you saying it. It's like, man, we're legitimately connected in so many ways. Depending on how life pulls us, we end up being more like one another than we are different than one another. But babe, in the middle of all that, what would you say your insecurity is? Because maybe, because I know here it talks about your biggest fear. Like, so what would you think is your biggest insecurity?
Insecurity. I don't know. Like, my biggest fear to me, I feel like, is failure. Mm. That's a big fear of mine. And death, like you dying, my dog dying, my mom dying, like death is a big fear.
But is that
fear.
An insecurity? Are they synonymous?
I don't know. Like, what makes me insecure? Comparison. I start comparing myself, like, I'm not as good as this person, or I'm not as good as people think that I am. I'm really a fake. I'm really like, I got here by accident. That definitely, my insecurities peak when like my ticket sales aren't doing well. People don't like me anymore. People don't want to hear from me anymore. I'm old news. Mm-hmm. I'm not what's hot. I'm not, people don't care about me. Overlooked. That definitely is a something that I would feel for sure.
Girl, I think you're a three.
No, that's crazy because of like,
you kind of just said all the buzzwords.
Yeah,
of a three.
Like the fear of the failure. Like that's like
thinking you're a fake.
Yeah,
we and hear people, that every day.
Yeah.
Welcome. I'm having to take this test
to have you.
I have to read the book.
That I would agree, because I do think your biggest insecurity is the comparison game.
Manuel.
Yeah.
What about you, Mel?
Your biggest insecurity.
Me?
Mm-hmm.
I don't have insecurity. Yeah. I'm so
I was
kind of
telling y'all. I have insecurities.
One.
I kind of told you a little bit about when we got out of the marriage retreat that one of my insecurities, or at least the one that was most prominent, was the feeling of not all the things that I've done in my life, like not seeing, man, it's kind of what you were saying, like my potential. Like, I feel like my potential was way up here and I never got there. And so I feel like, where's the fruit of everything that I did? And the insecurity comes in where it feels like I haven't amassed anything. You know, I haven't done anything that I felt I would set out to do. Like, I've always just almost gotten there. So that's like the feeling of just never getting,
because
you see it like, okay, so I do have supreme confidence in myself and I'm like, I'm dope, like I'm so good at this stuff, but maybe I'm not as good as I think I am because I never made it to where I thought I should make it,
right?
So maybe I'm not dope, maybe I'm not as good as I am.
But does that bring in the question of like, what is success and all that kind of stuff?
Yes. And that's where I think that's where I get my confidence back, because then I just lean back to like, man, well, if I believe everything that I say about God and my path and all the scriptures that we hear about, your steps are ordered and, you know, he makes the crooked path straight, then I'm right where I need to be, because everything that I've done, I've tried to do to please God, like to try to be the best version of I could. And I made mistakes along the way, but this is where I'm at. So I'm like, okay, I take my mistakes and I'm like, whatever. But before we had this podcast, I had a long talk with one of my best friends, Rick. And, you know, he said some stuff that triggered me, and triggered me in the sense of like, there's, and I don't, if this, I think this insecurity of how people see me, like I get, I don't know if it's insecure, but upset insecure. Like I'm upset because he said some things like, you know, for those of you who don't know me, like, for my whole like career, there's this thing revolving money and revolving the way I present myself, and that I'm all about money and that I'm all about these things, because it just so happens that things that I like sometimes are expensive. Sometimes, you know, and then it doesn't help that, you know, we've achieved a level of success that we're able to now explore and celebrate it. And so I start shrinking because of the fear or the insecurity of like, what if these people are right? Because so many people are coming at me and telling me these things, even though in my heart, I feel like, man, I am not that person. Like, I don't care. I've seen what I've done with what God has given me, and I don't believe that person is me. But then when you have somebody that loves you, that's telling you, hey, man, consider this, then my insecurity peaks. And it's like, man, what if I am everything that these people say that I am? Like, what if I am that guy?
And I would, you know, say to that, taking from the last one of the last podcasts that we did, maybe it's not necessarily who you are, but it's your social cues. How we were talking about, if you see someone who you have had beef with in the past, but you've settled within you, you're cool with them, your choice would be to look away, and a social norm would use that as a signal for, oh, we have beef, don't talk to me. But you're saying, no, I don't have beef. This is just how I communicate, right? But it's different from a social norm. So maybe there's something in it with the money thing. Like, you're not that money guy that people say you are. You're not about money. Like, you're so generous and all these things. Mm-hmm. But maybe it's your social cues, like, that you're free to talk about how much you spent on a certain thing with a certain person. And it's comes to social cues, maybe.
Sure. No, 100%. And this is what I was just telling y'all. My biggest problem is that I feel like, because I like to give the people the benefit of the doubt. That's how I am. And the reason why is not because I'm noble or I'm some whatever. Is because I know I do enough dumb stuff that I would really, really appreciate people giving me the benefit of the doubt. Yeah, so I'm just on purpose sowing benefit of the doubt and grace, because I'm like, I'm going to need this. At some point, I'm going to need this, and I'm going to call on all the people that I've just been gracious to and be like, hey, just be gracious to me, because I know I freaking suck at it. You know what I'm saying? So I 100% agree with you. I don't do well with norms, because in me, if somebody says some off-the-wall stuff, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'll just confront them. If it's weird or if it does something weird to me, like, I'll just literally be like, hey, man, like, this came off like this.
That's your eight talking.
Yeah,
about.
Yeah, that's a challenger.
And I'm like, and
me, I would go away and be like, he made me feel this type of way. Let me call one of my friends and tell them.
Okay, so, like, my old partner, they were, like, the same way with him, because he's very, like, you know, knows it all, very a certain type of way, and people don't have good things to say about him. And in me, when they would tell him, I'd be like, nah, you don't know him, because, again, A, I give him the benefit of the doubt. B, I know how people talk about me. They say I'm this guy, and I'm like, man, I am not that guy. So then I feel bad. I'm like, man, maybe people are just talking crap about him and putting things on him. I do understand that it doesn't help that I like the things that they're saying that I'm about. So it does not help when you have a nice car and people are accusing you of being about money. It doesn't help that you like fashion and that you're buying expensive clothes and you're buying this. It doesn't help that you have all these things. And all of a sudden people are accusing you of, you're just all about money, and I'm rolling through the airport with my whole Louis Vuitton luggage set. And I'm saying, no, I'm not. Mm-hmm. I'm not about money. So I get it. Mm. I get it. But at the same time, I'm like, I don't get it. And that's weird. And I sometimes I want to change. But other times, I just want to say middle finger to the world and just be like, F y'all.
Yeah, but you don't really.
No, I don't really want to say F y'all, but I do.
No, but you don't.
But I kind of do sometimes. Depending on who you
because
are.
Because if you know you, you have a very big heart. So that was your idea about the, like.
What, when people feel like that towards you, or even voice that towards you, what's the biggest thing that irks you? Is it the fact that you feel like, nah, you're trying to tell me who I am, but I'm not? And that irks you because you feel like you're so self-aware? Or is it irk you that in a way they're trying to control you?
Man, I think it's a little bit of both, because I think back in the day it was the control. Like, it's like what I said in our last pod. I turn violent when I feel like I'm being manipulated. So when somebody's telling me something about me that I know I am not that person, you're trying to make me this person, then I get this violent in me that I'm just like ready to fight. And that bothers me. And I don't know what that is. I really don't know what that is. I don't like being that way. You know what I'm saying? Like, because my heart is like, man, I try so hard. Like, especially with the money thing. Because my wife always tells me, she's like, babe, you got to be careful how you talk. You got to be careful what you say. And I'm like, don't worry, babe. You know, they know my heart. They know I'm just whatever. And then my best friend brought it up. He's like, you say stuff like this. You know, he's like, you know, I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to feed my kids, and you're talking about the next Porsche you're going to buy. Like, that could be insensitive. And I'm in my mind, I'm like, but this is my dude for 20 something years. Mm-hmm. In my mind, I would never think that I'm going to offend this guy. But then I do. And so I think a little bit of it when he was telling me is that I was sad that I did. Mm. It doesn't matter if I tried to or not. I was just sad that I did and that I do, because I genuinely love people and I want people to know that I, like, I'm about them and I'm not about things. Even though things make me feel creative and I come alive. You come, you know, we know, because you come alive in fashion too. Like, I come alive in fashion. I come alive when we talk about cars. Like, I get so geeked and nerdy. But I lack the social cues to understand when it can come off as braggadocious or whatever, because in my heart, I'm genuinely not trying to brag. I'm just telling you that mm-hmm. I freaking love cars.
I think that's what it is. It comes down to social cues, because how many times have you said from your own mouth about a myriad of conversations that you've had, but they should know my heart.
Yeah.
How many times have you said that to me? Babe, you should know my heart by now. But me, I'm like, yeah, but you should also learn how you communicate is a certain type of way.
And that's my failure, because I was telling Bobise, I was like, man, I'm realizing that this expectation that I have for people to be like me is just wrong. I'm doing this for you, so you need to be this way to me. I need you to be exactly how I am so that this relationship could work. And that's it's just not realistic, and it's not cool, and it's not whatever. And it's like, man, you know, I have to realize. And the insecure part comes with the time. Well, it doesn't matter if I try to hurt you, best friend, I hurt you. Mm-hmm. And that makes me feel insecure. That makes me feel like I'm everything bad that you say that I am.
You know what I think is really interesting, Manny? Going back to, like, was it our very first? No, it was the Lie the Church Sold Me episode. And you talked about the biggest lie you believed for so long was that if you were right, you were righteous. And I just wonder if, like, now your heart, you just said it, of like, I feel bad. I would never want to hurt you. And if you knew my heart, I would, and we know you, you would never want to actually hurt someone. But I think that you need to understand stuff. So if you and I have a disagreement, not that that's ever happened in life, but like, if we had a disagreement, I'm like, cool, can we leave it? Let's go get a glass of wine. I'm good. I'm done with my words. You're like, no, we're going to stay here until this conversation has no words left. Like, we're in the red when it comes to the words tank. Mm-hmm. Because I need to understand where you are coming from and you need to understand where I'm coming from. And I think that's how you're wired. And so you want to talk it out. But I think sometimes, I wonder if that goes back to the right and righteous thing. Like, in a sense, you were channeling that in the wrong way for so long that almost you're still channeling it, but you're just trying to go in the right direction. And maybe it's just not about words. Like, some people are going to understand you, some are not.
I think that's what it comes down to. I think you mentioned something about, I'm sorry, but it's, you just said it before I forget.
Yeah, no, you couldn't.
It's the fear of being misunderstood.
Yeah.
We talked about that earlier. Yeah. That is, again, so it's deeper than being right.
Yes. Yeah. That's
so,
what I'm
like,
to say.
That's what it felt like. Being understood meant that I was right. But really, it's that you're not seeing my heart and you're not seeing what I'm bringing to the table.
Yes. Like, because I told him, I'm like, bro, honestly, I feel like I've done enough love equity. That at some point you either believe I am something or I am not. And and I say that because that's how I think. There's people in my life that I'm like, we have gone through so much that at this point, you are my ride or die. We're lifers. There's nothing that you're going to say or do because I know how much you're trying to love me and me love you, where I'm going to take just the negative. Like, I'm just going to take it in the worst way. I'm always going to give you the benefit of the doubt. Because I know that this relationship, this is what it is right now. Like, we're lifers. We're going to do this till we die. And I want so badly to be understood that, I don't know, man. I don't know if I try too hard or I don't try hard enough. And you know, when he tells me stuff like, you know, you've been dealing this for a while and your communication is whatever. And I know I'm aggressive. I know I'm good at arguing. I'm very good. Like, it's going to be really difficult because I remember a lot. And if you say something off that I know you didn't say,
you're going to catch it.
I'm going to be like, you didn't say that. I didn't say that. It happens with my wife all the time. And I'm like, man, at the end of the day, though, it doesn't really bring her or bring us to where I really want to be. Because what I really want her to be is to understand me. At the end of the day, that's what I really want. And me, and
she just walked away. Yeah, she shut down.
And she shuts down, and it ends up not being what I want. And so I get, again, I shrink, and I get like, oh man, I always feel it. I just need to, I just need to shut up and change who I am. I just need to never talk again and never ask questions. And that's literally how I feel.
Yes, you do get very extreme. Yeah. You do say like, well, I'm never going to talk again then.
Is that an 18 too?
Well, that's what I was about to say is I feel like to avoid some of the guilt and shame of your wiring, to maybe look into the Enneagrams to see, learn about your wiring, to see your healthy version and your weak version or whatever they call it, so that you can start addressing things within you, knowing, okay, this is my style of communicating. It's a strength in this realm.
Yeah.
It's a weakness in this realm. So you don't get like mad at yourself and get down on yourself for your wiring. You just learn about it so that you can grow in it. And you can use it to your strength. Yeah, because
it's always been a strength on stage. It's been a strength in my leadership, like in the sense of me getting a message across or me being able to convince someone like of my thoughts and why I feel something is amazing or not amazing, you know, like it's always been a benefit. Interpersonally, it's more like the response I've gotten is more like, hey, I feel a little bit like bullied or I feel a little bit whatever because I can't argue as good as you, nor can I talk as fast or think as quick as you. It just can't. So it feels like I'm on a back pedal, and even whether you're trying to just make me understand, like Elise was saying, she's like, you can be talking about anything and I feel like you're coming at me. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, man, I get it.
But I think that's the thing is that misunderstandings is a hard thing and you keep trying to make it a words thing. And there are some people that are just not going to understand your heart, and doesn't matter how many words you say at them, they're not going to get it. I'm not talking about Angela or us. I'm talking about sometimes we got to admit I'm the same. We're all the same in that sense, is that sometimes we'll try and talk our way to an understanding, and the grief part and the thing that sucks is sometimes you realize either the heart's just not there and they just don't get it. And no matter how much you argue or talk or say words, the understanding, it's not going to come with words.
And that's a crazy thing too, because I, in a way I feel that too. I feel misunderstood. And part of this journey has kind of happened because I've taken back from a circle I call kind of a realm that I was like, really, I grew up in. I was like, it was very charismatic. It was all about revival. And kind of when I was going through deconstruction of my faith, I realized, you know what? This isn't really what I want. And so, and part of it is for so many years, I had kept that image. Everything that I was saying, everything I was tweeting, everything I was posting about was all in this thing. It was all in the stream. And so when I actually take a step back from it and I feel like I'm actually becoming who I want to be and not who I think you should, who you think I should be. And so now I'm becoming my true self and you're not liking my true self. That bothers me because I want everyone to like me. Mm-hmm. But for the first time in my life, I'm having enough courage to be who I know is my true self. And you don't appreciate that. And I feel so misunderstood right now because you're still in love with the image that I presented to you years ago, but you can't be in love with my vulnerable true self.
Wow.
And it was so tough because I was like, at some point I was just like, okay, do I trade me being true and authentic for your approval and your praise? And that's tough because I want people to be happy with my life. I want my parents to agree with how I'm choosing to live my life. I want my best friends to be like, dude, you're doing it right. But somewhere along the way, like there's going to be this conflict and I'm either going to pick true self or ego image self. And I'm choosing true self. And with I feel the freedom, you know?
What? In talking about these things, because I feel like people listening, you have your own insecurities. You have the things that literally may cripple you or riddle you defenseless or make you feel the worst, like the feelings that you've probably heard of what we've been talking about, unheard, you know, you just want to go away. You're extremists like me. Like if people say that you know, you're you act like this, then you run on the opposite end so that nobody will ever accuse you of it, because you're scared of being misunderstood. Then what is the answer? Because as I'm hearing everybody talk, I'm like, man, so what affirmations do we tell ourselves? Like, what is the answer to wake us up from this, you know?
I think the answer is in identity.
Yeah.
Like, and that's got to come down to, what do you believe? And for me, the biggest thing I'm seeking when I spend time with God, that's just me, but is affirmation. Because if God can tell me who I am, then it might look different to how you want that to look for me. But if God's already told me, and my dad in heaven's already told me that he's proud of me and who I am, and he'll put his finger on things and he'll be like, this needs, you know, let's fix this a little bit or that. And it's an identity. But really, God's never spoken to me about in the form of like, you got to stop doing that or you got to do it this way. It's always like, hey, that's not who you are. That's not who you are. And shame tells me what you do is bad, therefore you're bad. But God's never told me that. So I think for me as a three, it's been an authenticity that's come with authority from going to God and saying, I have nothing to show you. I have nothing to come home and stick on the fridge of heaven with a magnet and be like, look what I made for you today. And you're still proud of me. And out of that, for me, I was able to, it's still a journey. I can't say completely be fine when people don't agree, like what you're saying, B, but like, it's easier. And that's, for me, maybe a three deals with it differently than an eight and a nine and whatever you are. I don't even know anymore. But
come on, I'm going to take it again.
She's all of them. She's a 10.
I'm a 10. Hi.
But I think that's for me anyway. Yeah.
What about you, babe? What affirmations do you feel bring you out of it? The insecurity?
Well, I feel like now it's kind of getting into love languages. Perhaps if we were talking about what affirmations bring me out of my insecurities, I don't know. I feel like, one, put my phone down.
Yep. That's everyone, I feel like. Like,
I have to get off social media, stop scrolling, put my phone down, get out of my own head of what I think I should be doing, or being mad at myself for what I didn't do yesterday, or where did that hour go? Why didn't I be productive with that hour? All of that kind of shame and guilt on that, and just kind of accepting where I am in the moment and then moving forward from that place, which is something that I worked through in therapy with my therapist, was what's my motivator? Is shame and guilt my motivator to move forward? I shouldn't be like this, so move forward out of that. Or accepting where I am and who I am with all my flaws and my strengths, and saying, okay, I'm honest with myself. This is, I wasted an hour and that's fine. I accept myself. Mm-hmm. Let's go. Let's move forward. I compared myself to this other actress for a really long time, and she booked this role and I didn't, and why? And I'm good and I'm talented, and trying to like talk myself up and feeling not heard or not seen or overlooked, or like, when is it going to be my turn, or whatever it may be. And then stopping all of that and being like, okay, stop, just accept what is true, where you're at, and move forward in grace for yourself. And so that is kind of my motivator to get out of those insecurities.
What about you, B?
I'd say my affirmation is that I'm enough, and that, you know, I'm valuable enough apart from anything that I could ever achieve. That, like, if our clothing brand never takes off, if my career never takes off in other opportunities, if I have to live in a one-bedroom apartment with my wife for the rest of my life, and we only have enough every month to cover our bills, I'm enough. Like, I'm still a success story.
Yeah.
And that's so tough for me as a three, because I'm like, I got these huge dreams. you know, I got like a dream house that my wife and I have already mapped up. And we have dreams for our clothing brand and all this sort of stuff. But at the end of the day, that's not what's going to make me successful, really.
Yeah.
Success is that, hey, I am in this place, I'm present, and I say, I'm enough and I'm worthy of love.
Yeah.
Apart from anything that I could ever do. Mm-hmm. And that's like the biggest thing in that.
That's good.
Yeah, man.
You guys, am I a three?
Babe, you're a three.
You know what's crazy? Some of the stuff that you were saying kind of makes me feel like you're a three.
Bro, she's and especially, a three.
Yeah.
Don't label me.
You're like the American three. I'm like the Australian three.
Don't label me. No, I need to take it. I want to be the darling. I'm a nine.
Hey, so let's. No.
Three Brandon, is definitely not a darling. Sorry.
What Brandon just did is he spoke to himself in a statement to his soul, basically. I am enough. And I feel like we should end it like that. Like, speak a proclamation over ourselves. For me, it will be, forgive me to anyone that I've hurt ever because of how aggressive and how brash I've been. And I will commit to you, to those who I care about, and to myself to never stop trying to be a better person and to listen before I speak. Because I supremely love myself, but even more so, I love you, those who have stuck with me, my best friends, my family, and everyone that says they love me in spite of me, like, thank you. So I will forever be in your debt and being a better person so I can be a better friend.
Well, what you just said, Brandon, about being enough, that's something I've brought up in therapy a lot, is feeling I'm not smart enough, I'm not a good actress enough, I'm not funny enough, I'm not good at social media enough, I don't read books enough, whatever. So that is something.
But say it to yourself.
That I resonate with. So I would say, Angela, you are enough just being you, showing up and waking up, thinking your thoughts, you are enough.
Yeah.
That was good.
What about you, Bobies?
You got three threes sitting at the table, bro. I hate you.
Treyway.
So, I mean, yeah, it's.
Say it to yourself. Say it with your chest.
I love giving on too much.
So which just
I would say the real you behind.
Oh my god, did you guys hear my stomach?
Yes.
Oh edit that out. God. Start over.
I didn't know if that was my stomach.
I was like, is that Bonza?
Start from the beginning.
I can't now. All right. I would say to myself that Elise, the real you, the one behind the filters and the facades and the layers of protection and of putting on, the real you, the girl that comes off the stage and goes home at night, she's the best one. Because there's lots of different me's. And even if other people weren't able to accept the girl they wanted to marry or be friends with or be connected to, the preacher or the friend or the image or whatever it was, that's not a reflection on me. Because the real Elise, the girl behind the ministry, behind the stuff, the girl Elise, she's the best one. Mm. And she's enough.
Man, I hope wherever you find yourself in this gamut of emotion on this podcast and this sea of figuring it out, I guess you would say,
we in no way feel like we have it figured out, but I think the most beautiful thing that we're discovering is that we're figuring it out together. Mm-hmm. And we really hope that by us bearing our hearts, that it's given you a place and a space to feel confident to bear yours. Like, if these four fools are doing this for everybody to hear, then maybe I can freaking open my mouth and affirm myself.
Yeah.
Say sorry. Who do you need to say sorry to?
Yeah.
Say I love you to. You need to say I love you to, even if that person is in the mirror. Yeah. We love you, and we're grateful for every single person that listens. And with that, we'll end it. Subscribe. Follow the channel, share it if you feel like this will help somebody. And as we do say, we hope you have a seat at the table. But if you don't, you're always welcome at ours.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers. It's a
table of threes and the eight.
And a nine.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.